The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Shalom, shalom, Rolien. How are you this afternoon?
Shalom, shalom. And of course, I have to weigh in on your election discussion. And apparently, at least 300,000 tweets have been flagged over U.S. election disinformation. Oiva, boy, as we say here in the Holy Land, it sure is interesting.
It sure is. Rolien, I'm looking at what we need to get through today, and we need double the time. There is so much to talk about, so let's get straight into it. This fascinating story about apparently Trump having had a plan to attack Iran before he leaves office, if he leaves office.
Yes, well, this has been exposed, and it's quite interesting to see that it's making not just the Israeli papers, but a lot of the mainstream papers across the world, including the British tabloids, which, you know, I look at because that's where I go for my royal news. Anywho, President Trump did consider a strike on the Iranian nuclear site just before he leaves office in the next couple of months, but he was warned against it by his top advisors, who said that this could spark a wider scale conflict. And of course, Israel would most definitely be drawn into that. And Iran responded by saying that America and anybody involved would face a crushing response if attacked. So yes, I think President Trump wanting to leave his office with a very, very strong message to the Iranians. And I know there's a lot of conjecture at the moment. What is going to happen to the Iranian deal or with the situation with Iran when the Biden administration does take over? Because it does look like that's an inevitability. And I can hear Clive. I feel your anxiety. But it does look like it's going to be an inevitability, and a lot of pundits are weighing in. What is interesting is that Iran themselves have no desire at the moment to get back into any kind of deals. So it's quite a conundrum that the Biden administration will inherit, and let's see how they proceed moving forward. What is interesting is tomorrow we'll have a high-level visit from Mark Pompeo. He's the Secretary of State. And as I mentioned yesterday, he's off to the West Bank or Judean Samaria as well, a visit which is causing a lot of controversy. And also what is quite controversial about that is he is off to the Psagot winery. He's going to meet with people there and to have a wine tasting. And that sends a very, very, very strong message to anybody who takes the labeling of wines in the West Bank as something that needs to be boycotted. And Psagot were one of the wineries at the center of the court case against the EU for discriminatory labeling. So very, very interesting few days ahead, but we're very happy to welcome Bahraini officials, including the foreign minister. And this is, of course, to talk about areas of cooperation and areas pertaining to the deal of the Abraham Accord.
Rolien, it's real, hey? I got online to try, and just for the hell of it, because I like to do this, to try and book an Emirates flight, a play flight from Joburg to Tel Aviv, and you can do it. It's there. It's listed. It'll take you straight into Dubai and then fly Dubai into Tel Aviv. No stop. It's remarkable.
It is remarkable. So we've got Fly Dubai, we've got Emirates, and as of March, we will have Etihad operating a daily flight between Abu Dhabi and Israel. So we are expecting a lot of visitors from the UAE, from Bahrain, which we are looking very, very forward to. As we said yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu, a little bit concerned about our behavior in the Emirates. Mr. Prime Minister, I assure you, I personally will behave myself very, very well. But let's see what happens when Israelis start to hit Dubai and especially the malls. But we're looking forward to this massive increase in cooperation and tourism. And I think especially after this year, where tourism is one of the most hard-hit industries across the world, they will be extremely welcome. But it wasn't without controversy, of course, yeah. Simon, because Etihad put up quite a cute little commercial on social media, which I retweeted because I thought it was cute. And kol hakavod to the flight attendant for saying sabich properly and not sabish. But, you know, these things are important. It's not hummus, guys. It's hummus. But a little graphic on that commercial showed the second temple, that if you want to come to Israel, you can visit the second temple, which wasn't very well received in some parts of the world. And, Etihad had to take that particular promo down. So I'm sure we can anticipate a new, like a majorly edited Etihad.
I'm absolutely sure you can. And just talking about your Israeli tourists in Dubai, Rolene, I see two have already been arrested. Didn't take them long. I think you and I were waiting for this. I believe it's happened already. And Netanyahu is stating that there are cultural differences and Israelis are going to have to kind of improve their game and behave accordingly.
Well, there are major cultural differences. You know, I think many of us are very, very excited to have this historic possibility to go and visit Dubai. It's something, you know, we never dreamed about. And I think it would behoove all of us before we visit Dubai or Abu Dhabi or Yemen, Bahrain or any Muslim country is to check out the cultural differences, what we need to do, how we need to behave, sure. How we need to dress, etc., etc. Come on, guys, Israelis, I'm talking to you. We've got to be on our best behavior.
Absolutely, we do. Amanpour, yesterday we spoke about the fact that Christian Amanpour made a very unfortunate reference to Kristallnacht when she was talking about Donald Trump. I believe she's apologized.
There's two apologies that are significant today that I want to talk about. The first is Christian Amanpour. This is after a lot of flack that she has taken, not from many of us individuals, but from Israeli officials, including our foreign ministry and our minister of diaspora affairs and organizations like the AJC. I know David Harris, their leader, writing an open letter explaining to her why these kind of comparisons are very, very dangerous. But she has apologized. She said that she was wrong to juxtapose Trump with the Nazi crimes. And she went on to say that she was just trying to show how democracy can potentially slip away. And I'm going to read from her. She said, "I observed the 82nd anniversary of Kristallnacht, as I often do. It is the event that began the horrors of the Holocaust. I also noted President Trump's attacks on history, facts, knowledge, and truth. I should not have juxtaposed the two thoughts. Hitler and his evil stand alone, of course, in history. I regret any pain my statement may have caused. My point was to say how democracy can potentially slip away and how we must always zealously guard our democratic values." Well, a lot of people are saying that this is not necessarily a strong enough apology, especially in light of rising anti-Semitism around the world. And yesterday we spoke about the fact that the Holocaust comparisons to the Nazis are becoming more and more commonplace, which is very, very concerning. And now we go to the UK, where, as we speak, the British Labour Party are meeting today to discuss the suspension of their former leader, Jeremy Corbyn. Those of you who are on social media know that the minute that this comes into discussion, the anti-Semitic floodgates just open. But Corbyn has posted his what passes as an apology on his Facebook page. The British Board of Deputies say that this is not acceptable. They have called it a pathetic non-apology. And again, he tries to skirt around the issue and kind of say, well, the Labour Party's always stood against racism. And he said, to be clear, concerns about anti-Semitism are neither exaggerated or overstated. The point I wish to make was that the vast majority of Labour members were and remain committed anti-racist, deeply opposed to anti-Semitism. But, you know, he again doesn't seem to be able to say to the Jewish community, "I am sorry." Those words seem to escape him. You know, he says in his he says, "I regret the pain this issue has caused the Jewish community and would wish to do nothing that would exacerbate or prolong it. But he doesn't say the words, I am sorry.
There is no personal responsibility.
There is zero personal responsibility. So, Jezza, we are going to dedicate, sorry seems to be the hardest word, because indeed, sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Absolutely. Rolene Marks, we knew we had too much to talk about today. We knew we weren't going to get through it all. So we'll carry over Ethiopia and aid till tomorrow. But no doubt something will happen in Israel, because it always does, that will make our plans change again. Thank you for being with us today, and I look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
You got it.